Welcome. In this message, we'll discuss the negotiate step. When negotiation is called for, which it almost always is, a high percentage of relationships become strained and loyalty is tested.
Unless we exercise emotional intelligence, negative emotions have a way of surfacing at this stage of the process, probably more so than at any other time. John F. Kennedy once said, quote, "Let us never negotiate out of fear, but let us never fear to negotiate," unquote. Fear is one of the strongest emotions we can feel. Our view of what negotiation is influences our success.
If you're looking to build a long-term relationship, then you have to get beyond win-lose. Otherwise, you may, in the long run, you may win the battle but lose the war.
When negotiation begins, egos and emotion often surface. It is unfortunate but not uncommon to encounter people with an attitude that says, "I want to win at your expense." Unfortunately, when ego and emotion enter the picture, logic and objectivity go out the window.
Oh, if I just had the money, I'd lost by letting my tongue and my ego get in my way.
I used to think that if people were objecting to what I was trying to get across, they were attacking me personally rather than disagreeing with what I was trying to bring to the table.
If you let your emotions get the best of you and maybe think that people are rejecting you, then yeah, you can't help but be a little upset and maybe offended, and if you try and defend that at all, that, you know, comes across the wrong way. Or that's not what we're trying to do.
I think the emotions are actually easier to deal with than the ego, because if you let someone get through their emotions and let them talk, you ultimately will get to the core of what's wrong and you're able to fix it. And more often than not, they're satisfied. The ego part becomes a little more difficult, because that's where you really truly have to use the behavior styles and dig straight into that to figure out how is this person tick, so you can react to them in the way they want to react or interact with you. And that can be incredibly difficult to determine certain times.
One of the most powerful ways you'll learn to keep your ego in check is using the three-step process, which was introduced in the seminar session. The psychology of this is extremely powerful. To appreciate it, I suppose we first need to stress that one of the greatest needs people have is to be understood and valued.
When I talk to people, is thinking of it as an opportunity. I mean, that's really the time that you can solidify that relationship. Because if you're looking at it as a negative and you're getting into an argument with the customer, you're not solidifying that relationship at all.
Value and understanding shown to people may also cause the law of psychological reciprocity to take effect. As you recall, the law of psychological reciprocity says we tend to get back from people the same feelings and attitudes that we give to them. When people realize that you truly understand how they feel, they're more inclined to reciprocate or be open to understanding positions other than their own.
You're either sincere or you're not. And if someone tries too hard, you can tell when it's not real.
As they talk through some of those issues, I can hear it in their voice that they are being sincere and they're trying to resolve the issue at hand.
Let's quickly review the four action guides for effective negotiation. They are 1, find out what concerns and objections remain. 2, welcome and understand objections. 3, identify and isolate specific concerns. And 4, discuss possible solutions and ask for their opinion. The first action guide is to find out what concerns and objections remain. You might ask a simple question like, "What concerns do you have at this time that I have not yet addressed?" This question is designed to draw out people's real objections, which they may not have felt comfortable expressing. As people express their concerns about your recommendation, it's important to give positive, non-defensive acceptance to them. You can do this by nodding affirmatively, by verbalizing your understanding, and by showing how you value them. The next action guide is to welcome and understand objections. Most people don't welcome objections. At least that's been my experience. I guess the idea is maybe they'll go away, even though you know they usually don't. To deal with this conflict avoidance, it helps us to use this affirmation. have the courage to face the truth.
I think you deal with objections effectively by expecting them, by not being afraid of them, and letting customers know, saying, hey, up front, saying, hey, listen, we're going to talk about some things, and if there's something you don't agree with, please be open with me, and we'll work through it.
The third action guide is to identify and isolate specific concerns. Once you understand the main issue, you might say something like, if I understand, the key concern is this, and then repeat in your own words what you understand the concern to be. The final action guide is to discuss solutions and ask for their opinion. Once people agree that you've identified the main roadblock, you'll want to get agreement that they want to work it out. If they don't want to work it out, you probably won't go any further. As you've recognized by now, when you practice the final three action guides for negotiation, you have, in fact, used the objection handling process. Again, the three steps of the process are acknowledge, clarify, respond.
In one renowned essay, Ralph Waldo Emerson states, quote, every excess causes a deficit, unquote. In other words, when the scales don't balance, someone wins and someone loses.